The Tom Woods Show, episode 674.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
Hey everybody, it's almost that time. Bob Murphy and I are putting on the event of the year. It's the Contra Cruise, setting sail in October 2016. We've got game show style games in store for you. We got music and karaoke. We got great fellowship sessions, a live recording of the current episode of Contra Krugman, and much more. So check it out at ContraCruise.com. Hey everybody, Tom Woods here. We're talking today about what to do when you get pulled over by the police. And we're getting the perspective of former Deputy Sheriff Eddie Craig of Rule of Law Radio. We'll talk more about that in a minute. But before I continue here, I want to just say a quick word. I noted a bunch of episodes ago that one of our daughters had a real health scare, and I don't think I told you what happened or how it all turned out. She's fine now. I realized that when I was out of town last weekend, people were asking me, well, whatever happened with your daughter? And I thought, well, I posted an update on Facebook, but I forgot that I hadn't said anything on the show. And in fact, the update I posted on Facebook allowed 10,000 people to see that, whereas 145,000 had seen the initial thing about what was wrong with her. So anyway, I just want you to know she's alive and well and doing very well, and we appreciate all the kind words and thoughts and prayers that we received. But before I talk to Eddie Craig, if I didn't say this now, I was never going to remember to do it. So daughter number 4 out of 5 is doing well. She's doing very well. So there we go. All right, let's turn to Eddie Craig. Eddie, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Tom.
I've done a number of episodes on the police, but I've never really done one on what do you do when you're stopped kind of thing. Well, I did do a couple of episodes on checkpoints. I had Warren Redlich on, and he's done quite a bit on the checkpoint thing. But I'm talking about, suppose I'm speeding along on the highway, and when I say speeding along, I mean that literally. I'm actually speeding along, and I get stopped. Now, I've been listening to, as I just told you, I've been listening to your audio pretty much for 24 hours straight. So I, even though I kind of know your answers, I want to ask you more about your answers. Let's say I'm speeding along. Let's say it's a 55, and I'm going 70, and I see those red and blue lights behind me. Tell me what I should do. And tell me maybe what the average person is doing that's a mistake.
Well, of course, being the habits of law enforcement these days is to shoot first and ask questions later. So you do, of course, pull over, but you want to do it in a place where you've acknowledged the officer either by waving at them, turning on your emergency signals and flashers or whatever, and pulling over at the closest public safe place that you can. And you definitely want it to be public these days. You don't want to pull over just anywhere. But they're always looking for ways to up the ante by accusing you of things, even when they know for a fact you're not trying to evade them. They'll say that regardless. But my habit is to pull over in a safe public place, let them know that that's what I'm doing. But once they come up to the window, don't answer questions. The more you talk, the worse things are going to be, and the more they will do what they're doing to dig. What most people don't understand is that an officer's first job when he gets you pulled over for a traffic stop is to attempt to escalate that stop to either a DUI or a drug bust. He doesn't care about the traffic. That's just his premise for pulling you over. His real goal is to get inside that car and see what else he can find.
So even when I'm clearly going over the speed limit, you're telling me that by and large there's some ulterior motive for pulling me up? I've never had anybody look through my car. They give me the ticket, they've made their $150, and they move on.
Yeah, it's true that in the training, that's what they are taught to do. I am an ex-deputy. I've been through this. They are taught to find ways to keep the person in the car talking and answering questions that will allow them to continue their fishing expedition. That's one of the reasons why when an officer walks up, he goes, "Hi, do you know why I stopped you?" He's first off trying to get you to make an admission, whether you realize that's what you're doing or not. And then he's got you for that at a minimum. Then as you're talking, you can say, "Well, yeah, I just came from a party and I'm on my way home." And you go, "Oh, really? Were you drinking at this party? Were there drugs at this party? Do you have anything in the car that I should know about?" that you want to tell me about? These are all questions to escalate that stop if you make the mistake of answering them or answering anything in a way that will allow him to infer those things.
But on the other hand, aren't there some things that I could say that would make it less likely that I'd wind up getting a ticket? Maybe I'd just get a slap on the wrist instead. Is there nothing I can say?
That is always up to the individual officer. The officer is going to do what he's going to do regardless of what you say or do. He'll have his own motives for why he tickets you or why he doesn't. For instance, when I was a deputy, I refused to write tickets. I would not write tickets to anyone. If I had to stop someone for anything, it was because they were doing something that was dangerous. If it wasn't actually criminal, I would say, look, don't do that, okay? Not every guy out here is going to let you off with this, knowing full well you shouldn't be doing that, but I also know it doesn't apply to you. So I'm just trying to give you a heads up. It's like, for instance, here in Texas, it's perfectly lawful to carry a handgun inside your car when you're traveling around, and you'll have a cop that'll ask you if you have any guns in the car, even though it's none of his business, and he's not stopping you for anything relating to that. Yet, if you tell them you have one, they're going to get you out of that car, they're going to take the gun, and they're going to go run it on their computer. And now, whether you like it or not, even if you never had the gun registered anywhere, now it's linked to you. So they're always looking for ways to get their hands into something.
Tell me about the script that you wrote in which you're describing what a motorist might say when pulled over and what the policeman is likely to say in response. Give me the gist of that and what the value of it is. Why would I want that?
The transportation script is based upon United States Supreme Court case law. And what it is there for is to help you understand exactly how your rights are being violated in these so-called traffic stops. That everything that these officers do is meant to trick you into something they can actually arrest you for. Now, what most folks don't know about the law here in Texas is that the way the statute is written, the moment the officer turns on the lights on his cruiser, you are in a custodial arrest. We even have case law here from 2008, a case called Aziz v. State, where the Texas Court of Criminal Appeals ruled that is the case. Now, as someone that is in actual custody during the stop, this officer had to reach what they call probable cause. A warrantless arrest can't be done under suspicion. It can only be done under probable cause. And he has to be able to articulate the facts that probable cause is based on if you ask him to do so. Most of these officers can't. They're stopping you based upon a traffic infraction that here in Texas they treat as criminal, even though it's absolutely not criminal under any common law perception. There's no victim, there is no intent, none of those things exist in these so-called traffic offenses. Yet they use that to seize and arrest you. And the more you talk while you're in custody, the worse things can get very, very quickly, because the courts have said that a person that is in custody that has been apprised of their rights, which is something else they don't ever do in these traffic stops, anything they say can be used against them because it's made willingly and knowingly. It's voluntary. So the script is there to teach you that by opening your mouth and answering the questions this officer has, you are actually potentially confessing to additional crimes or additional things that they can use against you when you have the right to remain silent and you should be exercising it. I'm sure you saw the news story here recently where the female attorney up in New Jersey was pulled over. The officer asked her several things, and she says, I declined to answer. He pulls her out and charges her with obstruction and then proceeds to read her right to remain silent, which as an attorney was all she was exercising to begin with. There's a lawsuit that's going to be enormous.
Right. I did actually hear that. Now, I'm looking here at a site that's been using some of your transportation scripts. Okay, tell me this. Let's act it out. How about you be the officer and I be the person? I'm a regular guy. I don't know any of the ins and outs. And you show me the mistakes I'm making. Can you want to do that? Can you do that?
I can do that. And I'll show you just how quickly an officer can take something you say, twist it, and escalate this situation on you.
Oh, this'll be fun. This'll be fun. All right. So I'm driving along. I've just rolled down my window and you say to me,
"Excuse me, sir. Do you know why I've pulled you over?"
No, officer. I do not.
Well, you were going 85 back here, and this is a 60-mile-an-hour zone. Do you have some particular emergency reason that you're going so fast on this stretch of highway?
Oh, geez, I already feel like I'm going to make a mistake here. No, I guess not.
So do you realize what a public safety hazard is for you to travel down this road in that manner and endanger the public?
I understand that, but it does seem like the flow of traffic was at about that speed.
The speed limit, however, is 60 regardless of the flow of traffic. You understand that, right? You saw the sign.
Yes, I do. I didn't see the sign, but I'm sure you're telling me the truth.
Now, when you said, "Yes, I do," right there, you just confessed to knowing you had done it wrong.
Ah, okay. All right. Smart. All right.
So the more that you talk to me, the more I'm fishing out of you. You see how this is working? So let's continue this for just a second.
Yeah, okay.
Excuse me, sir. I need your license, registration, and proof of financial responsibility, please.
Okay. So then I hand over these things. Was that a mistake?
That's an absolute mistake.
But how can it be? If I give him these things, I can drive away in 5 minutes. If I don't, I got an ordeal on my hands.
That may be the case, but you are waiving very important rights when you do that. That is exactly what they're counting on. They have made this system convenient to allow your rights to be violated in a way that you would much rather have that happen than stand up for them. That is exactly what this system is designed to do. So what they've done is they've made you make a choice. Would you rather leave in 5 minutes instead of sitting here? Or would you rather waive your rights and let me violate them so I can take money out of your pocket later?
All right, so tell me exactly, then we'll go back to the scenario. Exactly how have my rights been violated in this encounter so far?
Okay, the right to remain silent does not just limit you to not having to answer questions. It also is a right to not produce anything that can be used against you in a court of law. And everything you just produced can do exactly that. Let's say, for instance, you produced your license and yesterday was your birthday and you haven't been down to the DPS office lately to get your license renewed before it expired on your birthday. You just handed him an expired license. Now he can charge you in addition to the speeding for an expired license. Let's say that the insurance paperwork that you hand him happens to have a different car on it, or you haven't downloaded your new card yet and this one expired 2 weeks ago. He can charge you with failure to maintain financial responsibility on top of that. He can then take these documents, use the little devices in his car to scan them in and have that evidence on hand in court to be used against you. He can write in his little police report that he handed me an expired license. He handed me expired insurance. He didn't have a proper one that showed it was current. Everyone thinks that they'll go back and run this stuff and come back and say, "Okay, you're good. You have those." They can. That doesn't mean they will. They can make the charge and still force you to defend it in court. And here's what happens when you do that. You go to court, and instead of getting charged, you produced that you had current insurance or current license at the time, but they still say, "Okay, pay us $20 administrative surcharge fee for having to deal with this case for each of those cases, and we'll drop the charges." They're getting money out of you one way or the other.
So let's go back to our scenario then. You've just asked me for these three documents. So let me change my answer. Instead of "here you go," let's change my answer and see what happens. Is my answer silence, or is my answer "I choose not to produce those documents"? Or is it a third answer?
It's a third answer. The answer is one that clearly shows for the record why you are about to not provide what you're about to respond with here. "Officer, can any of the information that you are demanding from me be used against me in a court of law or to potentially incriminate me in any way?" That's a question relating to your Fifth Amendment protections. The officer's obligated to tell you whether or not he can use that information. The fact is he can, and you should know that up front. He can use it. But he didn't tell you what your rights were. The reason you want to do this before he gets his hands on this is now you can show that this was not a voluntary surrender, and that statement can later be suppressed at trial where he can't use that information against you because it was illegally obtained. So when you ask him that question and he either refuses to answer or gets belligerent or whatever, then you have a follow-up response. Officer, I believe the information can be used against me. Therefore, I invoke my right to remain silent. Do you intend to retaliate or punish me for simply invoking my protected right to remain silent? Now you've put him on the hook. Anything he does to anything like that with you is going to show that he clearly understands what you just did, but you're going to do what he wants regardless of what your rights are.
Now, meanwhile, while all this is going on, should I be using one of these apps in my phone to record the conversation? Should I get that ready as the officer's coming to the car? I mean, I guess that's a dumb question, right? What could it hurt me to be recording this?
Oh, it doesn't hurt you, and you should record every encounter with a public servant. I don't care who it is. My main rule to everybody that comes to my class or listens to my show is, in today's America, don't walk out of the front door of your house any day of the week without something that records audio and video, preferably more than one something. My first rule is as soon as you even suspect you're about to get pulled over, start recording. My habit is always the same. If I'm getting pulled over, I start my recording. I say the date, the time, where I am, and what agency I think it is that's behind me and about to pull me over. I get all that information on there up front. So there's no question this recording was made on a certain day, a certain time, in a certain place with a certain set of individuals. When they come up, the list of questions in that script is meant for you to properly identify the officer that's pulling you over for purposes in court later, should you ever wind up in court with it, and so on and so forth.
Now, these responses that you've been giving, people can find in that transportation script. Isn't that right?
Absolutely.
And okay, so we'll link to that.
Okay, and the thing that most folks need to understand about the script is not like a movie script. It's not written to be followed page by page, line by line. It is meant to be fluid. It is meant to be memorized and to educate you on your rights so that when an officer asks you something, you can jump to whatever part of the script is relevant at that question that they're asking. That way, it doesn't look like you're on drugs or drinking and didn't understand the question. You're following along and you're using the script appropriately when you jump to the place in the script that responds to what the officer's asking, like the production of those documents you mentioned. You jump to the part of the script immediately where it goes, can that information be used against me?
Now, if you take an approach like this, it seems to me there are two possible outcomes. One, the officer becomes more agitated and more belligerent because you're not acting the way the typical motorist will behave. But secondly, it could be the officer will say, oh, it's one of these people, and I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to deal with the YouTube that's going to come out regarding this. I don't want to deal with whatever he's going to pull in court. I'm just going to let the guy go. Do you have a sense of what the more likely outcome is? Can we have a sense of that?
No, because like I say, that's going to be completely up to the individual temperament of the officer you've encountered. The problem is, maybe there's another story you're familiar with. The Supreme Court has ruled that police departments can intentionally hire people of low intelligence over those with high intelligence. There's a reason for this. Departments want people that will follow orders and not question orders. They will do what they're told. They don't know enough to go read the actual law, and if they do go read it, they don't know enough to actually understand it. This is the biggest failing in our law enforcement agencies. They are given very, very superficial training on how to understand statutes. And that takes a little bit of practice to do and learn to do correctly. But they believe that everything they're reading, they understand, when in fact, like the general public, they are charging with these things, they don't understand it any better than the general public does. And the main reason for that is because these statutory schemes use terminology that sounds and looks familiar, like you've seen a thousand times. But the meaning that it has assigned to it in that statute is not the same as the one that you understand from common usage. That is where most people get screwed up over what a statute actually says. And that's why these laws are being misapplied to people that it never should have been applied to. And so in relation to the transportation stuff, this all goes to the fact that transportation is an occupation. It's a business. And only those that are engaged in it, at least here in Texas and the other states where that's the case, only those people are the ones that are subject to the rules and regulations in that code to be charged in the first place. But even those individuals have protected rights. Whether law enforcement wants them to have it and exercise it or not is irrelevant. They have it. So, yeah, when you exercise these rights and that cop goes off on a tangent, either getting belligerent or saying, you know what, sir, have a nice day, there's no way to know in advance unless you've encountered this cop before how that's going to come out. And that can change even with one you have encountered if, say, for instance, they're training a new rookie or they're riding with a partner. And so this time they feel like they want to show off a little bit. You just never know. But the moment you waive those rights, you need to understand you cannot get them back.
All right. So let's go back to our encounter then. And let's say that I've followed your advice and I have not handed over the documents, and I asked, could these be used against me? And I'm told that yes, they could. Then how does the interaction proceed from there?
Again, if the officer is willing to acknowledge you have the right to refuse based upon that, it's very simple. But most of them don't. Most of them are going to immediately respond, the law says you have to produce it on demand. And that's true. The statute says that when a peace officer, a magistrate, or certain other people demand production of these documents, you have to produce them. But what that statute does is violate the Fifth Amendment. It completely violates your right to remain silent by saying that you have to produce this when that information can be used to charge you or be used against you in some way in a court of law. It's an illegal seizure of that information, so it can be used against you. So it violates your Fourth Amendment as well. So it's just one of those things where without understanding how these statutes are being written to intentionally deprive you of rights, you may not have the courage to stand up and make that stand. But if you do understand it and you're not going to waive those rights, then you have to understand that saying that is your right. Officer, I can't provide you with that if you can use it against me. You should know that. As a peace officer, you are required to protect me, my person, and my rights. And one of my rights is the right to remain silent.
All right, so I'm appealing then beyond the statute to something more fundamental than the statute in making my argument.
Absolutely. And that is why that entire script is based upon United States Supreme Court case law on those specific subjects.
All right. Well, so let's see. Does it matter? Okay, I guess if it's a Supreme Court, I know how things work these days. So the general principles you're talking about are generally applicable across all 50 states?
Yes. No person has a different set of fundamental rights in Texas than they do in Pennsylvania or New York. They're the same across the board.
So the thing, okay, so I'd like people to read your transportation script because I actually heard you more or less reading it on the air before I actually looked at it. And I thought, all right, this is a very, very interesting approach. And the thing is, I can't say that, you know, if I've got five kids in the car and I have a confrontation with the policeman, it's going to scare them. I mean, they're all little kids.
I understand.
So there are going to be, you know, some situations where there's discretion on the part of the driver, too, that now is,
yes.
You know, there are a lot of battles I can fight in my life, but at this moment, this isn't one of them.
Exactly. And the script makes that very clear. It makes it very clear that as the person that is actually there, you are the one that has to determine how far you're willing to take this. Okay, because yes, things can escalate. And the way the cops are today, you can't tell when that's going to be. But the point is as you mentioned earlier on in this line of questioning, if you do the things that you have every right to do,
then the officer gets belligerent because that is not the obsequious individual he has come to know and expect from his prior interactions with the public. He now expects you to waive those fundamental rights upon demand so he can do his job quicker, simpler, and easier, even though it harms you in the process. So, yeah, you have to make the determination. I say that in the script, and I teach it in my class. If you feel that officer is about to go ballistic to a point that could endanger you physically, don't push it, okay? Make it very clear the only reason you're doing anything is because this officer has lost his self-control to the point that you fear he is about to attempt to murder you. And there's nothing, there's no shame in saying that out loud on that recording, that you're anything you do is out of fear of what this officer is about to do, even though the only thing you've done is invoke your fundamental right to say no.
Eddie, give me 60 seconds of what Rule of Law Radio is all about.
Rule of Law Radio is all about teaching people what the actual law on a subject is versus what the public policy enforcers are using it to do and say that it says. They basically are using laws to perpetrate crimes against the public for revenue. And our job here, as I see it, is to stay abreast of the law, study the law, inform people of what the law actually says and what it actually means and who it actually applies to versus what we're being told.
And the website?
The website is www.ruleoflawradio.com or logosradionetwork.com.
All right, make sure we're going to link to that. Today's episode show notes page is tomwoods.com/674. I'll link to the script there, and I will link to Rule of Law Radio as well. Thanks so much for your time, Eddie. Obviously, we could talk for a long time, but I would say leave them wanting more. They can find plenty over at Rule of Law Radio. Thanks again.
Yes, sir. Tom, now on that link to the logos, if you want to go to a place where the script comes directly from us, on the end of the .com, put /TAO, Tango Alpha Omega.
Ah.
That'll take you to an information page about my future website, and those scripts are linked up there as well.
That's what I'll do. We'll link directly to that. Okay, thanks again. We really appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you for having me on.
All right, tomwoods.com/674 is where to go here. I can't say this is an approach that I myself would take, but on the other hand, I am interested to learn some of the ins and outs about what's really going on. Like, for example, when you're asked, do you know why I stopped you? Because, of course, why wouldn't they just say, hey, why were you going so fast? Do you know why I stopped you? It's an opportunity for you to incriminate yourself. That is an interesting insight. Well, anyway, coming up next week, we've got Mark Perry on Venezuela. We've got Jonathan Haidt on the Campus Crazies. And we've got a bunch of other great episodes. I'm going to be trying to do a couple of music-related bonus episodes coming up soon. I've got another couple of bonus topics that are spinning around in my head here that I may get to in the coming weeks. We were a little late with Contra Krugman this week, but better late than never, because the Contra Krugman episode number 37, I think, is the harshest, not in terms of impoliteness, but in terms of the sheer takedown of the argument, just the biggest smash of Krugman we've done yet. So if you're not yet listening to Contra Krugman, check it out over at ContraKrugman.com. All right, that's going to do it, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit TomWoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.